addiction starts with temptation, a piece of cheese, and suddenly you find yourself 5 years later, 2 years later, 10 years later in a trap. So my name is Joel. Thanks for having us, Pastor Shannon. We appreciate you having us. I'm with Chase. We're from Teen Challenge, Pertis, Alberta. Something that's totally not relevant at all. After the service, a lot of people ask me how tall I am. I'm 6'5". I don't play basketball. And I like to have my water 6-to-1 ratio to my... So just to clear that out, just so no one asks me how tall I am, because it seems to be a common thing. But no, we're really excited to be here. And yeah, this is Chase's first outreach. And so this is really exciting to be able to share stories, impactful journeys that we've been on, and to be able to share what Teen Challenge is doing here in Alberta, in Pertis. And so I've been working with Teen Challenge in Pertis for the last 6 years. My beard might be doing this. For the last 6 years, I've been working at Teen Challenge in Pertis. For the first three quarters of those 6 years, I worked on the front lines with the guys dealing with addiction and rehabilitation every day with the students in the program. And in the more recent months, I've transitioned to administration and doing outreaches every now and then. And I'm only part-time, but there's a reason why I'm staying, and it's because this place has not only changed my life, but it has opened up like a plethora of opportunities. I was a graduate of the program in 2017, and I can't seem to leave the ministry, whether I'm volunteering at times or I'm actually working there. It just seems to be a permanent part of my life now. But I'm just really curious to see those who are not familiar with Teen Challenge. Those online obviously can't respond. Welcome, by the way, for those that are online. But just out of show of hands, who is not familiar with Teen Challenge? Because I know some of you will be. Okay, there's a few of you. That's good. If no one put their hand up, that would be kind of awkward, like preaching to the choir. We're really excited. So Teen Challenge is a faith-based drug and alcohol rehabilitation center. It's a long-term intensive rehab. So just a really quick history, very short and brief. Teen Challenge was founded by a person named David Wilkerson in the 1950s in New York. He was a small pastor in a small town. I have no idea how big he was. I don't think he was that tall, though. I think he was pretty short, based on the videos of him preaching. But he had a vision, so to speak, not necessarily a real vision, but a sort of a passion burning on his heart for those teenagers in New York that were getting into trouble. There was a news article, there was some sort of a news story of teenagers and in gang life mentalities, and these people were facing a lot of years in prison, and he had this burning urge in his heart from the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, to go out on a mission to reach out to these people. Long story short, he founded an organization called Teen Challenge in New York for teens. What it is now today for rehabilitation for those that were struggling in gang life mentalities. For what it is today, it is a rehab for men and women over the ages of between the ages of 18 and 65. And it's not only in Alberta, but it's across Canada. Not only is it across Canada, but it's actually a worldwide ministry in over 130 countries. There's over 1,300 centers across the globe. There's one in India, there's one in Japan, there's one in almost every single country across the globe. So it's amazing what God has done through David Wilkerson, just through that prompting of the Spirit and his obedience to the Spirit to be able to reach out to people that he is not comfortable with, especially coming from a small town. So his obedience has led to a ministry that is now changing lives every single day. So it's an intensive 12-month-long rehab discipleship program for men and women. We've established that. And we believe that it is through Christ that one can be set free and experience an abundant peace. So we believe in the Word of God as the authority over our lives, and we believe in a strategic approach for rehabilitation. And so that is through rigorous structure and responsibility, through therapy, through counseling, through discipline. It is through discipleship, through community, and it is through these things that one can overcome the crippling effects of substance abuse that we all know someone at some point of our lives is struggling with or has struggled with or continues to struggle with, or perhaps someone in the audience or in the congregation struggles with, or those online. It is a real thing, a real prevalent problem in North America and across the world. So we believe in taking mental health seriously, and knowing that Teen Challenge knows that it takes time, and it takes mercy, and it takes grace, and that the recovery can be exponential through the power of Christ, being the primary element of what Teen Challenge is for rehabilitation. So it's a sort of a reworking of lifestyle and behaviors. And so one can overcome far beyond what the world can offer. As in Romans 12, it says, "Do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and prove what God's will is and his good, pleasing, and perfect will." And so it starts with thoughts. Our thoughts become feelings, and then our feelings become actions, and our actions determine our current position in this life. And our thoughts are influenced by many things, especially in the spiritual realm that we cannot see. And so it starts with a battleground that eventually leads to action, and then suddenly we find ourselves in a mousetrap. We believe if we start with the thoughts and what we believe about ourselves and challenge it with Scripture, you can overcome many things through Christ. We know this as a body of church, as the body of Christ. And so Teen Challenge takes that approach, and we strictly focus on the Word of God as the primary function and belief system in our rehabilitation program. So these are our beliefs, our values, these are our principles, and this is the methodology in which we stand by. It is derived from the Word of God. Now, practically speaking, what does someone actually do in a whole year? So there is a lot. Chase can attest to the rigorous, like, sort of structure that's involved. But here's a short but concise and comprehensive list. There's spiritual education, study through the books of the Bible, book reports that people would do every single month, regular education that's being taught every single day from an accredited teacher. There's actually, at the end of the program, if you do enough of the work, you can get credit to some Bible schools for the work that you do at Teen Challenge. There's also a wide range of responsibilities. It increases over time. There's a plethora of them. Just a few to list: kitchen responsibilities, catering for the community, chores and leadership in different areas. There's recreation and work therapy that encourages team building and a sense of community. Counseling and mentorship, as mentioned before, and even spiritual warfare counseling, which is really important. Outreaches, where we share testimonies, is a huge part of Teen Challenge. This is where a lot of guys receive a lot of healing, is being able to share their stories, and it says in the Word of God that we have overcome through the power of our testimony. We prepare a guy for the future even. Often opportunities come out of it, like careers in social work, as what I did in a junior leadership position after graduation. Many people stay on after Teen Challenge to continue the education and the leadership and to start a new life in a new direction that they've never experienced before. And so just to reiterate, our center is for men between the ages of 18 and 65, but there are women's centers across Canada. It's not co-ed, but there is one in almost every province in Canada. Not every single one, but they're spread throughout BC all the way to the East Coast. So I've been here long enough to know that addiction is a symptom of other deeply seated issues, and not usually it's the core problem. Teen Challenge allows a person the time to deal with the roots that cause the addiction in the first place. So two main ingredients that allow for success rate that we have at Teen Challenge is time and Jesus. Teen Challenge is 12 months. Most programs out there are like maybe 3, maybe 4 max, and they cost a lot of money. They don't have the elements of Christ involved. And so there's just kind of this revolving door, this sort of people coming in, and they never really deal with the seated issues that usually start at a younger age. Unfortunately, despite many programs, Yeah, sorry, I just repeated that. But even despite this, I heard recently even Shia LaBeouf spend $8 million on rehabilitation for his alcoholism. And he still struggles today. So it's really not about how much money can be put into a program that can help you. It's about the methodology methodology that gets put into and what you do and the approach that is taken. So something to note about Teen Challenge is that it's nonprofit. We rely on the work of the Holy Spirit through the church to sustain the operation and what we're doing in every single center across Canada. It costs $1,100 to get in. That's for 12 months. That's less than $100 a month that covers all the expenses and everything else the program offers for that whole year. On average, keep in mind that a standard operation for this particular program would actually cost normally $55,000 for one person to go through the program. We support up to 12 people at the moment, but we are just moments away, days, weeks, months, very quickly ready to double capacity. We're going to have 24 beds open. We have a new building set up, and I'll be doing a tour through the PowerPoint soon, not quite yet. But I just want to quickly share a little bit about myself. I know it was a lot of information. It was like a firehouse of information. But at the end, if you have any questions, you can come at the back and we can talk. But I just want to share a little bit about my story here. I went through close to a decade of severe mental anguish due to very serious spiritual warfare and drug addiction. I'll be sharing some deeply intimate and detailed parts of my story. I share these details for two primary reasons. You never know who it might speak to. Some things aren't talked about, and it's by the power of our testimonies that chains can be broken. If I knew someone when I went through what I was going through 10 years or close to 11 years ago now, and had spoken or had talked about what they, if someone had shared an experience that they, that I'm experiencing, that they're experiencing, it would give me a lot of hope. And so I share that's a reason why I share it. We don't know each other's minds and hearts. We don't know the deep crevices that are sort of brewing in someone's mind or in their heart. So there's a reason why I'm sharing these details. My goal is to be vulnerable and open to shine light where darkness might reside. And sometimes the depth of darkness can actually help us understand God's everlasting grace and his mercy and his love. This contrast of darkness and of light can be a really helpful perspective to see the love of Jesus in our lives. And so I came from a normal childhood, nothing special, not going to go into it. Loving Christian family, father, mother, Ken Griffin, Annalore, they were local evangelists. Two older sisters, Lori and Jessica. So I came from a great, strong, moral, high standard, valued home. Jumping forward to high school, I started the party life, and I found myself in a perpetual motion towards addiction. I wasn't quite there, but I was pretty much there. Conviction eventually entered my heart. This is around grade 10, grade 11. I saw the destructive path that I was on. I was in an addiction, and one night, I invited Christ in my heart. The seed that came back that was sort of planted when I was a child from my father, it came back. The book of Genesis came alive for the first time. The stories in the book of Genesis suddenly exploded in my mind, and I just realized the truth, and I repented, and I brought Christ in for the first time of my life. But for some reason, I felt ashamed and embarrassed. I was suddenly controlled by fear. And I don't know why, but this controlled me, and I kept my faith in Christ secret from everyone, including my family. And so I read the Bible as if it was a paraphernalia object, and I would hide it when I knew someone was coming. I knew the truth, but for some reason, I kept it away. And so eventually, the enemy took advantage of this, and I was tempted to do something. I was tempted to invite a spirit in my life. And so I fell for the temptation. Jesus was tempted in many ways. Temptations come in unusual ways sometimes. Out of nowhere, we live in a world that is spiritually dark, and there is a realm that we cannot see. Jesus was even tempted to worship the devil at one point in the desert. And so I was suddenly tempted to experience what it's like to have an evil presence in my life. I do not understand why that came in my mind, but that is what happened to me. So I fell for that temptation. I won't go into detail on how, but that's what happened. And suddenly, an immediate uncontrollable thought of worshiping the devil came to my mind. And I could not control it. These were not voices. This was just thoughts that came to my mind. And it was like when that spirit entered my room, when that happened, I remember being hit by a truck. It felt like being hit by a truck, and I was surrounded by an evil presence. And suddenly I had these thoughts over and over, like a broken record, like a song on repeat of worshiping the devil. Now, I wasn't doing it, but it was this further temptation to continue to progress in this weird realm of darkness. And I had this, like, this repeat. I would go to bed with it, and I would wake up with it. So I was riddled with fear of possession now. Now, I kept this secret too, and I stopped following Christ. I tried to resist it and do it on my own, but I couldn't do it anymore. And I fell back into addiction, and every day I was riddled with these obsessive thoughts. I had horrible, twisted, and dark dreams of hopelessness, as if my name was signed off to Satan. Very weird, imaginative concepts that would go through my mind. My mind felt like it was being squished, and what was bad only escalated and got worse. I remember being in my room once, in the living room with my family, and there was a news story on a person who, it was a horrible story of a news person, someone who had wiped out, he had took out his family. And I thought, what if this happens to me? What if I commit that? That voice sounds familiar, doesn't it? It's like this sound of this adversary, this what if, this fearful voice went through my mind almost every day ever since that news story. What if I do that? What if? This thought of possession continued to riddle me. And so I went through all of high school suppressing these thoughts, trying to fight it with worshiping Jesus, but these thoughts persisted every single day, and I quickly fell back into further addiction. But it was by the end of grade 12, I had the urge from the Holy Spirit to suddenly tell my dad what had happened. So I did. I could barely get a word out, but I went to him and I told him what happened. He encouraged me. He wasn't fazed by it. He knew something was up, but wasn't sure what it was. And it felt like a war that had finally ended. Little did I know that it was the beginning of a new war. The next day, my sister came in and shared a dream that she had, that I was a baby Christian. She didn't know that I was going through these things, and she had this dream as a toddler, and she was holding my hand and walking through this mansion, pointing to different faiths of the world, different belief systems, and I was a toddler Christian. My mom came home from vacation at the same time, not knowing any of this was happening, and she had a vision in her hotel room, a waking dream-like state, when she woke up and she had a vision of a spirit of death that had entered our home. Everything felt like it was in slow motion. Felt like my life was ending, and my dad was suddenly diagnosed with esophageal cancer. But my family continued to reinforce me with Scripture. And so when you're in the thick of darkness, sometimes Scriptures really stick to you. Scriptures like the book of Timothy, where it says, "For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Or stories like the book of Job, or a variety of Psalms. Or one of my favorite verses that kept me going was in Romans 8, where Paul talks about nothing in all of creation can separate us from God's love, not even the powers of hell. Now, we were still battling as a family. We were being attacked, but my father stood strong. Things did not get easier, though. My mom was struggling, too. I often saw her face of despair, and fear had riddled her. She was very strong in faith, but something came over her during this time, as if in this time of unknown, almost as if she was wondering if some curse had come over her family, that she might lose her husband to cancer, or has God forsaken us, or had maybe lose her son to some capacity, or maybe forever. Paralyzed with fear, the church prayed over me once. I went up to get prayer by the elders, and I went into a physical paralysis. I could not move. At one point, I got told by my sister to go home and talk to my mom and dad and read the scriptures to understand them more. We sat in the living room and we read some scriptures in the Gospels. And as I was reading Jesus' words, I heard a growl. And then I thought it was just me that heard that. And then as I continued to read Jesus' words, I heard it and we all locked eyes, my mother and my father, and we heard a growl coming from another room. My dad wasn't afraid. He just said, well, let's just go to the room where it's coming from and read scripture there. So we went to that room where it was coming from. We read it there, and then we continued to hear the growl, but had moved, and it kept moving around wherever we would read. And he was angry because I was starting to understand what the gospel was saying. I was starting to understand the truth of Jesus. And every time I understood it, this spirit got really angry. And so during this time, my physical body was being affected. I had twitches and spasms all throughout my body from head to toe every single day with these thoughts that continued on in my mind. Lots of stuff happened over the next decade. I'm not going to go through it all. Further drug addiction, homelessness. My father passed away only 2 years later. I was diagnosed with bipolar, schizoaffective disorder, combination of schizophrenia, the whole shebang, in hospitals, medication. It felt like I was a lost cause, like a ticking time bomb of hopelessness. And I was losing hope, but I never lost it. I never lost some faith in God. There was a deep in my heart, I held on to this belief that God would set me free one day. I truly believed this, and I held on to scriptures. And God did bring me through some battles in those 10 years, but for some reason, he kept this oppression. He let me go through this oppression. And I was at a breaking point 10 years later, and I remember being in my room. This was the worst I had ever been, and this thought of the fear of taking out my family and possession, all those things came back full force. And I felt like that was going to happen. And I was in my room at 1:30 in the morning, and this weight filled me, and this darkness filled my room. And I remember, what if that happens to me? What if I become possessed? The enemy tried to convince me that I would commit this. These lies, it's like somehow had shattered the hand of Christ in me. These lies twisted my thought patterns. Again, none of it was true. It was an attempt to strangle. I would never want to do that, but it was an attempt to strangle my spirit with a strong man of lies to bind me. And at this breaking point, a person I knew had messaged me. He was a Satanist. He suddenly sent a message over Facebook out of nowhere. Hadn't talked to this guy in 6 or 7 years, and he sent me a message, and it was a curse to me and my family, and he told me to commit this horrible act that I was thinking of very specifically in the name of Satan. And so my heart sunk to a deep level. I remember seeing this shield in my room. It was a plaque of the shield of faith in Ephesians. And it said, above all, lift the shield of faith. And it talked about the armor of God on every occasion, on every circumstance, every season. We can pray with all kinds of prayers. And I looked at that and I said, this is a circumstance. And I panicked and I was, this is a circumstance. And I prayed. And nothing really happened after that. I felt still lost and dark. But suddenly, 2 weeks later, I entered Teen Challenge. You go to the next slide. So that was me, day one. I was yellow, there was nothing left in me, but I still had hope in me, but it was very, just a small amount of hope. And Jesus said, love and hope and faith, those three things remain forever. Love being the greatest, but hope was really a strong, powerful anchor in my life. I was broken, tired, fearful, it got harder, but I held on to scriptures. You go to the next slide. For it says, I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither present nor the future nor powers, neither height nor depth, nothing in all of creation, not even the powers of hell in all of creation, nothing in all of creation can separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus our Lord. So freedom sessions in the program, spiritual warfare, freedom sessions with an elder of the church, 2 rigorous days of praying, 4 months in the program, I had a breakthrough. It was the first night in 10 years that my dreams were no longer weighted. It was the first time that my dreams were no longer weighted by some sort of a dark feeling. And eventually my life came back. I graduated. I became junior staff, and I've been here since. So I'm just going to give you a quick tour of the new facility, and we're gonna let him up here, Chase up here in just a few minutes. But this is the old facility. That's not the new one. This is the old one. So just to give you a little contrast of what has been done, this is the old one. You can sort of go through the next few slides systematically. This is the, just like, that's the old administration building, like just like trailers put together. Very simple, very basic. We did this for 30 years plus in Pritis, housing 12 guys every day, every year. That was Mitch. He was an old teacher at Teen Challenge. That's the kitchen dining room area. We got this is like the storage unit for food. And so that's the old one. This is the new one. There's a rainbow in that picture, if you can see it. This awesome picture someone took when it was finished of this rainbow, of this promise that God had. We've been working on this building and to get the permit and all the money raised. And we want to really thank you guys, because there's many supporters in here financially and over the years of people supporting to be able to produce such a magnificent building. This is an overshot. Dining room area. Again, a lot of it's been filled out even more. There's more artwork. There's more things in the buildings. This is the chapel area. So much more spacious. Just really equipped to be able to support what we do and on a regular basis. This is the classroom, study room. Everyone gets their own kind of cubicle. Everyone works on PACE contracts. PACE is like personalized accelerated Christian education. This is the gym. These aren't really wide-angle shots, but there's a lot of equipment that's in the gym and behind the cameraman. So just leave it at that slide. So I shared a bit about my story. I just want to really reaffirm this before I go on about what we're doing today with the Journey Program and Chase's testimony as well. The blood of Christ is above and beyond anything you can ever imagine when it comes to darkness. If you are experiencing anyone online, or if you know someone that's experiencing a level of darkness that's sort of perplexing and almost like crippling, do not be afraid. Trust me, the powers of hell do not have a grip over you. For Christ is, Christ's blood covers all sin, all darkness. So just be assured of that for those that are struggling with anything that you're going through. Teen Challenge was a tool that God used to bring me and many others through addiction and mental health and spiritual warfare. These are all the graduates that I've seen in the last 7 years. So every single one of these persons is either a father or an uncle or a son or a person that needs help. So we hope Teen Challenge can be the same tool for you or for someone you know. Addiction, mental health, lack of meaning and good people in your life. So I had the privilege of bringing along Chase, one of our students, and he's been in the program for 5 months. He has a story. Chase has been on a journey. We all have unique journeys, and he's going to share a little bit of his story. I've seen Chase since day one of his program and the work of God that he has done that God has done in his life. Chase has always had a smile on his face. Even his intake picture, he's got a smile on his face. He's always happy. So I want to take this time to invite Chase up. Just for those online, just so you're aware, there's going to be a static image just for privacy reasons. It's not a glitch. So Chase is going to share. So please give a warm welcome to Chase.
Good morning. My name is Chase, and I am 24 years old, and I'm in my fifth month at Teen Challenge. So life for me started out pretty simple. I grew up in a Christian home with my mom, my dad, and my older sister, and we lived in Salmon Arm in the beautiful province of British Columbia. After we stayed there until my first year of school, so in kindergarten, and then just after we moved to Red Deer, Alberta, and that's when the chaotic whirlwind of my life began. My parents divorced when I was 7 years old, and I had to move into a women's shelter with my mom and sister for a period of time, not knowing why or where my dad was. We then moved to Sylvan Lake with my mom in grade two, living with another family at the time as she took the job as a live-in nanny. I would live with my mom during the week and go to school, and I would see my dad on the weekends. The next year, we moved to Calgary for grade three, where for the first time, I stayed at a school for longer than a year. And having to make new friends every year and never seeing the old friends was very difficult on me growing up. I always struggled in school due to my very little attention span. I was constantly disruptive and getting in trouble in school and at home, which gave me a false sense of I'm never good enough. That feeling continued and perpetuated into minor depression going into junior high. At the time, I was bullied by some older kids, being shoved in the hallways and on the walks to school, being called stupid or a loser or other very rude names. And then my depression kept getting worse over the years, and moving into high school was no better. To cope with my depression, I started abusing my prescription medications before school and drinking at parties when I was 15. At this time, this was the year of my first suicide attempt. I was fed up with the way I felt, so all the time, I decided to take a handful of my sleeping pills, hoping not to wake up. However, it wasn't enough, and the empty feeling kind of continued. Shortly after, I was introduced to marijuana and cigarettes, and by 16 years old, I was smoking both of these daily. I started skipping class to smoke, or even smoke before school and showing up high and just not caring. At 17 years old, I felt completely lost and hopeless, which led to more suicidal thoughts and tendencies. I decided to talk to my school counselor about it, and she felt I needed to be assessed by a psychiatric unit at the hospital, where I stayed for over a week. Nothing really changed after my stay at the hospital, so I soon dropped out of high school after that and moved out of my parents' house. That's where my addiction really took off. I would smoke marijuana all day before work, during lunch breaks, after work, and eventually started getting heavily into cocaine as the marijuana was no longer enough to keep my depression at bay. I would stay up all night doing these drugs going before work and throughout the day. Then I'd head home, take a nap, and do it all over again. I was getting very little sleep, often only eating a single 7-Eleven pizza in the entire week, while spending the rest of my money on drugs, cigarettes, and rent. Within 6 months of dropping out of high school, I had lost 60 pounds, going from 190 pounds to 130. After 6 months, my roommate and I, we lost our apartment as we couldn't keep up with our rent due to our spending habits. This led me to move in with an ex-girlfriend of mine and her family and to trade my cocaine addiction for alcohol due to a lack of income. My ex-girlfriend was an alcoholic, and her dad would give us $20 every few days for food, but instead of spending it on food, we would spend it on whiskey, and we would survive on a small number of snacks that were around the house, often only eating a full meal maybe twice a week. We were so poor and deep into our addictions that we'd even take her dad's cigarette butts and roll them out and smoke them just because we had nothing else to smoke. That relationship ended after about 7 months. Then, just before my 20th birthday, I moved in with a close friend from my early childhood because it was one of my only options left, and his family didn't charge me any rent. Then, almost right away, I began another extremely toxic relationship where all we did was lay around and drink and smoke and abuse medication. At this point in my life, I was a full-blown alcoholic, marijuana addict, and looking for just about anything that could alter my mental state. I started abusing Xanax and losing days of memory at a time. I was using inhalants even while driving, which caused me to total a car that I had and in a very major accident. I was on an extremely self-destructive path, and I was even engaged to this ex-girlfriend at the time, and she would only enable me and help fuel my addiction. She eventually cheated on me, which led me to break off our relationship and make a big life change. I started a job at a liquor store and moved into an apartment by myself. I stopped using hard drugs in an attempt to regain control over my life. However, working at a liquor store, coupled with my returning depression, made my drinking only dangerously worse. I would even steal from my work in order to support my addiction, or if I couldn't do that, I would resort to drinking mouthwash or even rubbing alcohol. It's that bad. At this point in my life, I felt like all hope was lost and there was nothing left for me. I basically gave up. I couldn't handle feeling the hopelessness anymore, and I tried to take my life again. This time, I was determined to succeed, and I tried to hang myself in my apartment. In tears and anger, I kicked the stool out from under me hard enough that there would be no chance of reaching it if I suddenly tried to back out. But by the pure grace of God, the rope that I had used snapped clean through the middle. There was no reason for the rope to break. It was strong, unfrayed, could have easily supported my weight. But God intervened and told me that it was not my time yet. I called my mom in tears and told her what had happened, so she came and immediately picked me up and brought me to the Rocky View General Hospital. I spent 2 weeks there with horrible bruising around my neck and people asking me questions that I did not want to answer. I fell into a deep depression and felt shame about what I had tried to do, and spent the next 2 years living back at home with my family while I attempted to straighten myself out. However, not working and having nothing to do with my days, made my drinking even worse at that point. I spent 2 years just laying in bed, drinking as much as I possibly could to numb the pain. My mom, scared of me taking or making another attempt on my life, provided me alcohol because this was the only thing that eased my depression. I ended up taking advantage of this situation, and I would drink a 60-ounce bottle of vodka every 2 days. I would never allow myself to sober up. I would stay constantly drunk in order to keep my mind at ease. Not being able to work because of my addiction and withdrawals, my dad told me I needed to get help. He tried taking me to AA every week, but it wasn't doing anything for me. So then he suggested I consider a rehab program. My stepmom knew a staff member of Teen Challenge and recommended it to me. At this point, I was so tired of my addiction that I jumped at the opportunity. Since coming to Teen Challenge, I've seen a dramatic change in myself. I'd started experiencing true joy again, finding enjoyment in nature, fellowship, and activities, and renewing my relationship with Christ has been the best decision I've ever made in my life. God has taken away my emotional turmoil and depression that I've been battling since I was young. I felt at peace when I would talk to him, and I would feel forgiveness for all of my wrongdoings. He has always been there waiting for me to come back to him, and he accepted me back with love and open arms. His love is deep in my heart, and I strive to share that love with others. Philippians 4:13 speaks to me on a number of different levels, but since coming to Teen Challenge, I know in my heart that I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Thank you.
So I actually missed the faith promotion that Chase had recently, when you're in the program long enough, 4 months in, you get kind of phase promoted to like another part. There's three phases in the program. There's kind of induction, there's training, and then transition. He's in training phase right now. And so I missed that phase promotion where he shared his testimony. So that's the first time I've actually heard his story. And it's every time I hear a story like this for the first time, any student that comes through, there's always these layers where it starts. It's like this onion that peels, and then it just leads to this bitter core where you end up in a position where you want to, you know, you want to take your life, and you end up, you know, and you end up in the hospital, and you end up drinking things that you would never drink before, like rubbing alcohol. It just sort of progresses as the time goes on, and you would never suspect that you would be in that position. I'm sure years before that, you would have never saw yourself doing the things that you were doing today, right? And so what I want to put emphasize the importance of those that are in addiction. You need to really take a hold of your life and just trust Jesus, and he will change you, and there's opportunities for that because of programs like Teen Challenge. And so there's many ways that you guys can even be a part of the journey. Through sponsorship, of course, and financial support, and many of those that sponsor people in the program, we want to just give our total thanks and gratitude to you guys who support the people going through. Through volunteering opportunities, or even perhaps just participating in the program. So for those that are struggling with addiction, apply today. Online, those that are online, apply today. You won't regret it. Every person that goes through the program is blown away by what can happen when they put a year aside and let Jesus just change their lives. And most importantly, a way that you can be part of this journey is by simply through the power of prayer. Remember, we are a faith-based ministry. We believe that it is through prayer that has carried out the mission of Teen Challenge globally, and by God's will, the Lord has brought Teen Challenge Alberta to what it is today, alongside with every center across the world. And so many people support us, and we're very thankful for that. And so we're looking to just briefly here talk about the Journey program. This is a new program that we're doing. It's a way to sponsor the center. And so you can just come to the back, and we at the end of the service, during lunch, after lunch kind of thing, where you can just talk to us about this. This is one really good way you can support us. But again, if you just need prayer, or if you need to talk about whatever you need to talk about, ask questions. We have lots of material that you can take with you. And so, yeah, it is by your contributions that is made possible. And so life, just remember, life is a journey. And today we're opening anyone the invitation to be part of that journey. And there's many ways to be a part of it. So we want to thank Pastor Shannon for having us. And we're just really grateful. Just know that the blood of Christ is it conquers all things in that realm of darkness. Whether it be saving him from the rope that he hung himself and tried to end his life. Jesus's blood covers that, and so he by the grace of God he was set free from that rope. And for myself, I was diagnosed schizoaffective. I'm totally free of medication today. Now, I'm not saying that anyone can be free of medication. There's important reasons for it. But I went through 10 years of all kinds of diagnoses, and I've been set free of that mental health for ever since I graduated Teen Challenge. And so just know that there is hope for those that are in a real pickle. So thank you again. And Tom, if you want to come on up, I think. Yep, right on. Thank you very much.
Well, as Tom and Pat come on up, we'll get, let's just say thank you to Joel and Chase for presenting, giving your story, your testimony. It's encouraging to hear that. Come on up, Tom. And we also want to make a reminder is maybe some of our elders there. We do want to take a free will offering. So if you want to give towards the ministry of Teen Challenge, we want to give you that opportunity. So we'll maybe get a couple of the gentlemen to grab our baskets there and hand those out. So if we can do that, maybe get Shane to grab that. And maybe Roy, would you help on the other side there? Roy, Shane and Roy, they'll pass the basket around as a free will offering this morning. But let's pray. We'll get Chase and Joel to come on up, and we want to just thank you for presenting for us today. Father, we pray for Teen Challenge. We pray for their ministry, Lord. We ask that you would continue to provide it with great fruit, Father, with changed lives, that the power of the Spirit would be in that location, would be in that place, would be upon people's lives, would be with the counselors, with the workers, and with those that are changing their lives, Father. We pray that the power of the Spirit would come upon all involved. Father, we pray that you would be glorified, Lord Jesus. We pray and give you thanks for Chase's testimony this morning. Father, we ask that your Spirit would be with him most powerfully this as he walks through the last little bit of this program, Father, halfway through. We pray that any anxiety, any worry, any concerns, any nightmares, any barriers, Father, any way that the enemy would stand before him, we pray that that would be broken down in the name of Jesus by your Holy Spirit. We thank you for these gentlemen. We ask your blessings upon them. In your name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen.